Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
On this Good Friday, we welcome you to SJS. Great to be with you. And today's show, look, it's Easter weekend. All right. You want to make sure that you're fully stocked for a great Easter weekend. An Easter weekend that includes Elite Eight basketball. Actually, there's four more Sweet 16 games tonight. Elite Eight basketball, two tomorrow, two Sunday. The opening game of the Major League Baseball season, I know you are revved up like the rest of us to see the Astros and the Rangers. Okay. And the Phillies, of course, play the Braves on Monday night. So you need to be fully stocked. And you never know what unexpected guests that you have show up at your home on an Easter weekend.
Hi, some Steve. Welcome. It's nice to be here on Easter.
And some that make you roll your eyes. That's why you need to have a fully stocked bar from Brewers Outlet. Plenty of snacks. And if it happens to be someone that you want to have at your house for Easter, well, you can offer them refreshing beverages from Brewers Outlet. And if it happens to be somebody that shows up that really makes you roll your eyes.
Hi, Steve. It's nice to be here on Easter.
You can then make sure that you are fully stocked and ready to go for the weekend personally and see if it dulls your senses so you forget. But Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, it's Friday time to stock up. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. You can go to www.hilscherstore.com. Don't forget Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Talk about the NCAA tournament and much more. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about Major League Baseball with the season actually getting underway Sunday night and especially with a full swing of games on Monday, including the Phillies and the Braves. All that and more, but first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 and a 2004 Volvo XC40 four-door twin turbo with four-wheel drive, both with the lowest price promise, so you gotta call 888-536-8017. 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS reduced to $15,943. 2011 Subaru Legacy four-door sedan, just $21,498. And a 2010 Chevy Equinox four-wheel drive LTZ, $24,998. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones will join us from the Sunbury Motors studio again momentarily. We have a busy day today talking NBA, NCAA basketball. Might have touched on the NBA, but let's face it, NCAA is much more interesting right now. And, of course, the big question is, did Indiana's guards actually play in the game last night, or was Syracuse defense just that good? We'll get Steve's thought on that right now.
I'm just thrilled, for example, that you're talking about Indiana and you didn't mention people going around an oval at 230 miles an hour.
Well, that's not a big discussion this particular week. I mean, you know, there's no race this week to talk about.
You can discuss it anytime. I've noticed that. Oh, look, they've got a new spoiler on the back.
Ooh. They don't have a new spoiler on the back. What are you watching?
They got a restrictor play. They're killing the sport.
I hate restrictor play racing.
Right? Hey, and oh, look, the ratings went up to 0.28. What, isn't there a one in front of that? No, it's a zero.
No, not yet, but there will be. You wait.
Zero,
it's coming. But
no,
please.
To be frank with you, it's getting worse.
For somebody that has Indiana as winning it all, where the heck were the guards last night?
Well, I didn't have Indiana winning at all.
Well, I don't care what you had. I'm more concerned about me. And I know there's a few people that have Indiana going at least to the Final Four. Where in the world were the guards last night? You had this long to prepare against the 2-3. Is it really that good?
Yeah, let's go back to yesterday's conversation.
I was thinking about that on the way to leading up to the show, actually.
Okay. And I said, what's a big issue with Indiana's guards versus Syracuse guards?
Well, the height.
Exactly.
Size.
Indiana's guards are small. Yogi Ferrell and Jordy Hulls are both around 6 feet tall, probably. Ferrell's probably more 5'11". Hulls is right around 6 feet. And Brandon Trish is 6'5", and Michael Carter-Williams is 6'6". Wingspan, length, but then how they attacked it last night was just... I mean, they said that Tom Crean had plans A, B, C, and D. Well, I'm still waiting to see what B, C, and D were because he never unveiled them. I mean, again, Zeller needed to get touches, post touches, and I mean in the high post, more than he needed to, you know, and he wasn't getting it.
Yeah, but when he did touch the ball, it didn't go in the hoop either.
No, but that's not the point of it, okay? That's not the point. The point is that you want him to get post touches because he is such a skilled passer out of the post that when they collapse toward him, he then finds the open man. And he's very good as a passer out of the post. So it wasn't a question of him taking shots, because to me he should have taken a couple of jump shots from that 12 to 15 foot area. You know, he hit one, and you're like, well, come on, take a couple more of those. Loosen them up a bit by taking that shot. And he didn't do it. But how they attacked it, and for Tom Crean, this is a major blow. Because, look, he took over a program that was down and out. They won 6 games his first year. I give him a lot of credit. You bring in Jordy Hulls, Watford, eventually a guy like Oladipo, they changed the culture of Indiana basketball because it was under Kelvin Sampson with some players, Party City. Okay? And the Eric Gordon recruitment rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, especially in Illinois. He committed to Illinois verbally. Sampson went in, got him to sign with Indiana. You sit there and go, that's not how it works. He says, well, I wasn't involved in those conversations. Okay, fine, Kelvin, enjoy your life in the NBA. But those guys came in along with Tom Crean, and they changed the culture. And he's done a great job of trying to embrace the past at Indiana. But I'll say this, Tom Crean, as time has gone along, has not handled success with the grace and poise that he should. And it's been an issue. And it's been noticeable by a lot of people that he has not handled success with the grace and poise that he should. They went to the Sweet 16 last year, and everyone was euphoric, and justifiably so, because after those down years, they add in Cody Zeller, and suddenly they get back into the thick of the mix nationally, and they're now relevant nationally again. This team had far greater expectations, and they did not come close to meeting those expectations. Those expectations this year happened to be a Final Four. Didn't get there. And part of the fact they didn't get there is that at no point last night did they look like they understood how to attack this 2-3 zone. I mean, that's the bothersome part. It didn't even look like they knew how to attack it.
And they had plenty of time to prepare for it.
They had days. It wasn't like the quick turnaround. So that theory I have about Syracuse being tough on the second day of the tournament got thrown out last night. If it had been Miami would have really struggled against them. But with no Reginald Johnson, they couldn't do anything down low. That was such a huge blow. That was a huge blow, losing him last night, because Marquette's not a very good three-point shooting team, so they want to do everything from mid-range in. Well, you can go mid-range in. If you're facing a big man like that, going in is deterred. Well, they had a free lane inside because he wasn't there, and it changed everything. And they got offensive rebounds because he wasn't there. So that was talk about an untimely injury. That was it. But Syracuse's advantage of going to the second day of the weekend and having an advantage of facing a team that goes out the window because Marquette faces it.
I was going to say, they know them pretty well.
They know them. And they just beat them in Milwaukee, in fact, back on 25th.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only do they know them, but they also know how to handle them and have done it successfully.
All right. So that goes out, though. But Indiana, and this is going to go back now to what we talked about for a month about when you look at teams that advance in the tournament. The ability to play the game at two different speeds. That you're going to find a game or possibly two in the tournament where you would be ground down and you'd have to grind out a game. And I said that there are two teams that were highly ranked that it was my opinion that neither one could play that kind of game and successfully advance. The two happen to be Duke and Indiana.
What was Indiana averaging, 70-plus a game?
75 a game.
75. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they want to get out there. They want to play. And that's a great way to play. It's a fun way to play. It's a fun game to watch the way Indiana plays. But you get into this tournament and, you know, you face different styles. That's why I find it interesting when people talk about today's sports. How often do we hear in today's sports, well, you know, the best team didn't really win. The best team survived.
I hate that comment.
Like the Ravens, okay, where the Ravens, you know, they just survived. Look, you get in there. I remember in 1987, the Twins and the Cardinals played in the World Series. And it turned out that before now we have, you know, which team wins the All-Star game, blah, blah, blah. It used to alternate every year between the American League and the National League as to who played four home games and who played three road games in the World Series. Well, in 1987, in odd years, it's the American League. In odd years, it was the American League. All right? Well, it turned out that year the Twins lost every single road game in the playoffs in the World Series, but won every single home game. And I was doing a talk show back then, and people were calling the show, and they were saying, that's all wrong that a team does that. I said, hey, whoa, wait a minute. I said, you have to understand something. I said, here are the rules of the game. When the season begins, they give you 162 games. Major League Baseball told the Twins, and I think, 1987, there would have been, 12 teams, right? And I said, they tell you that if you beat these other five teams, and you have a better record than these other five teams, because there's no wild card in 1987, if you beat these other five teams here, Major League Baseball says they allow you then to go to the World Series. I mean, they allow you to go to the playoffs. It was a best of five then. I said, the next thing Major League Baseball tells you is if you win three games faster than the other team wins three games in a best of five, they let you go to the World Series. And if you become the first team in the World Series to win four games, they give you a trophy. I said, they did all three things. I said, I don't understand what the complaint is.
I don't like to come at the better team didn't win. I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. But if they were truly the better team, they would have found a way to win that game instead of losing it.
Well, last night Syracuse was better.
Right. Now, I understand the point that people make when they say there's the better team overall. Okay, I understand it, but better team overall, they still would have found a way to win it.
It's the better team overall until you play that particular day. When you match up and play that day, Indiana and Syracuse had not played each other in 26 years. So it's not like, you know, there's this long, deep-seated history between the two, and they've got this rivalry and blah, blah, blah. But they don't see each other. They haven't seen each other. They haven't seen fans of those two teams have not seen the two matched up at a basketball court in 26 years. I mean, the Big East does not have a rivalry with the Big Ten. It just doesn't happen. There aren't many Big East, Big Ten matchups. You realize that? I mean, Penn State sometimes plays a Big East team. Over the years, Penn State has played, they've played Villanova a couple times. They've played Seton Hall a couple times. But, I mean, Penn State doesn't play Syracuse. They haven't played Pitt since early 2000. They've never played UConn, not once. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We're going to talk about the Penguins, and we're going to talk about the Steeler draft. Kevin, some juicy nuggets for you.
I'm ready.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. You want a dark horse for a Steeler draft pick in round two?
Do not say, no. You are not going to say the name I think you're going to say.
What name's that?
Please, it better not be a linebacker.
It's not a linebacker.
Okay, then I'm not, okay. Phew. I was getting worried. I thought you were going to go with Manti Te'o. I'm like, please don't say that.
No. Okay. He'll be gone. He'll be gone before then.
Oh, that's. I'm not sure that's right either. All right, go ahead. Give me the dark horse for the second round.
Matt Barkley.
That's interesting.
The Steelers attended his workout.
That's interesting.
Steelers were there. They watched him. Took a long look. There's certain factors that you have got to take into account. I know you're a Steeler fan, so for the most part, you're kind of blind as to what you have. I got it.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks. I know our backup quarterback is in his 80s.
Here's the difference. Okay. You are an unabashed fan of the team.
That's correct. Yes. Okay. I am not objective. You're right.
You are fully invested in your emotions in the team.
Emotionally and financially, yes.
You bought a jersey. You're not financially invested, okay?
You can look at it however you want.
If you're a season ticket holder, you're emotionally invested.
I'm on the list. Does that count?
You're on a lot of lists, most of them dealing with the authorities.
I've been on the list for over a decade now.
Okay, well, that's fine. So you're invested, okay? So you are, I think it's safe to say that my level of objectivity when it comes to the Steelers is far different than your level of objectivity when it comes to the Steelers.
We have not agreed more in the entire length of this program than with that comment. You're right.
And in fact, my level of objectivity on most teams, Eagles, Phillies, Pirates, right?
Even the Giants.
Okay. Even the Giants. I mean, again, my emotions have changed about teams I followed over the years. I'm fully invested in what Penn State does, football, basketball. I mean, everybody knows that. Okay. I broadcast the games, the team, the whole thing. So it's a different feel. But when it comes to the teams that I follow, I don't have the same. I love watching the games. I really enjoy it. There's nothing I enjoy on television more than sports. And nothing I enjoy going to more in person than sports, okay, when it comes to entertainment. But I don't have the same investment in my teams that you do. I used to with the Red Sox, and I used to with the Giants, very much so.
I understand.
Years ago, the Giants, every single play, live, die, every pitch, Red Sox, live, die. Hockey would be with the Bruins, live, die, you know, Bobby Orr, the whole thing was a long time ago, obviously the Celtics, especially in the Bird era. But for whatever reason, for me, things have changed. I can objectively look at every one of my teams now that I follow and just go, nope. You can't. Okay? Simply said, I'm not saying that to put you down.
I agree with you.
You can't. I mean, it comes out on the show all the time.
But what you're saying right now about Matt Barkley, I actually think is a good idea.
The reason I brought up the Matt Barkley thing is this. Ben Roethlisberger is now played 10 years in the National Football League.
Yes.
He's 31 years old, which means he is now heading into the prime of his career. I mean, some of his better years should be now, next year, the year after, based on the normal development of a quality NFL quarterback, and he is a quality NFL quarterback. Game slow for him and so forth. But his durability is dramatically different now than his durability early in his career. Even though they tried to change the offense last year, that they felt in such a way would allow him, I think, to have longevity.
He sometimes writes checks his body can't cash.
But he takes more hits than he should be taking.
Absolutely. That's exactly my point.
Okay. They do not have a quality backup quarterback.
No.
And I say that with all due respect, because Byron Leftwich at one point was a really good quarterback with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but again, multiple hits over his career and injuries have changed him, and when he had his opportunity last year, it did not take long for him to exit the lineup. Charlie Batch, there's only so much water you can import from Lourdes.
I mean, the man gets turf toe. I feel bad for him because every time I see him on the field, I think, you know what? There's somebody about my age playing football. I got to respect that. And then, like, you know, he ends up with a knee injury from walking off the field or something. That's the problem. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The Steelers have a quarterback that takes a lot of hits, that gets injured more often than is comfortable for a guy that's being paid $100 million. Now, you've got nobody really to back him up. That's why I kind of like this idea.
I think it is time for the Steelers, long-term, short-term and long-term, that if that name is on the board in the second round when they select, that they take him. Because the idea, and I would go with the Aaron Rodgers idea.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, plummeted like a stone. I mean, many people thought he'd be a top five pick. He ended up going with 24th overall to Green Bay. I think many thought he'd be in the top eight. And all of a sudden, he get passed over. Like, holy cow, you know. And all right. And all of a sudden, he goes to Green Bay. He sits and waits behind Brett Favre before finally the Packers sit back and go, you know what? We watched the dude in practice, and like he's better than Favre. So let's just not re-sign Favre. Well, he is better than Favre. Now, I'm not saying Barkley's going to be better than Ben, because Barkley's footwork is okay, and his arm strength is passable. You know, that 33-yard out from the hash mark is a critical throw in the NFL. Okay, that's a measuring stick, that 33-yard out from the hash mark. They want to see if you can deliver it with velocity. If you can't deliver it with the right amount of velocity, then it's a pick six. It's a turnover waiting to happen. Barkley evidently is passable in that regard. His shoulder strength is better than it was a month ago. Of course, we know that was the issue. That's what kept him out of the Notre Dame game. It kept him out of the bowl game in El Paso as well. He's intelligent. And I think that could be the right kind of second-round pick if he is available. In a few weeks.
Problem is, I think there are teams that need quarterbacks that might take a chance, like maybe the Bills.
No, I think that Nassib's going to be the guy that they'll take if they need a quarterback. Doug Marrone is going to pick the guy that he understands and gets from Syracuse.
Well, okay. Yeah, I didn't quite think about that, but you're right.
But again, this is the objective as opposed to the fan.
No, that's a very good point. And those two could flip-flop. I know a lot of people project Barkley to be a first rounder, but that's a legitimate flip-flop for the Bills. I don't know. I think this is a really good situation for both Barkley and the Steelers. Here's my question. Is he content to sit back for 3, 4, maybe 5 years and be a backup.
Irrelevant.
Well, yeah. I mean, now I'm trying to think of the long term again, and you're always thinking of the short term. So, all right.
I think of both, but I mean.
I mean, do the Steelers want to invest? Do the Steelers want to invest in a quarterback that they think that could take the place of Ben Roethlisberger in 5 years, say? Or are they looking for somebody to fill the need of a backup for Ben that is more than adequate that they think is going to stay healthier?
I think you're trying to get a young quarterback with a lot of talent with the idea you're going to groom him, and then when Ben Roethlisberger gets to be 36, this guy's ready to play ball.
Well, see, that's the one thing Aaron Rodgers was okay with. I mean, he was okay.
He wasn't all that okay with it.
Well, he stayed. I mean, he did stay.
Now, the Steelers, the question is whether they can get him, because there's going to be 47 picks before they get there. And I've got a feeling Matt Barkley's going to be gone before 47 picks.
Well, maybe it's time to wheel and deal.
Question is, do you wish to trade up to do this? I mean, when you look at the teams in front of them, say Barkley is around two. Jacksonville, always a possibility with a quarterback, but they think they've got a young one they like. Alex Smith's with Kansas City. Vic's with Philadelphia. Detroit has Stafford. Cincinnati has Dalton. Arizona, there's a wide open deal there. Okay, but I'm not so sure you're drafting Barkley to be a starting quarterback in Arizona, but there's Arizona.
Weren't they looking at Geno Smith?
Yeah, well, if they do, it'd be in the first round.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Right. Geno Smith would be one that would probably be drafted ahead of Barkley.
Now, Cleveland then gets another pick. Okay, this is that they exercise from the supplemental draft.
Now, I don't see the Steelers trading with a division. Within the division.
Well, that's not a trade, though. I'm talking about will they pick? Will they pick them?
No, and I understand what you mean.
You have to understand whether the Browns are content with Brandon Weeden or not. Then it's the Jets with Sanchez. Tennessee's interesting. I mean, do you like Blaine Gabbert? Jake Locker. Do you like Jake Locker? Buffalo, if they're going with Nassib, okay. Tannehill's Miami. Tampa Bay has Freeman. Carolina has Cam. Drew is in New Orleans. San Diego has Rivers. St. Louis has Bradford. Dallas has Romo. So the door might be open. The door might be open. You're not going to use the first round pick on him. And you're not going to do that. But when you look at teams that need quarterbacks, let's see. Let's go through. Jacksonville is always a wild card. But Kansas City is the first pick. They're going to take the Joku kid from Texas A&M. Everybody knows that. Unless they suddenly trade down. But they've got Alex Smith now. Jacksonville's a wild card. Oakland should take somebody, but they're not going to. And the key is that Oakland does not have a second-round pick before the Steelers. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, that's a big one. Oakland does not have a second-round pick before the Steelers.
Well, hang on. Let me detour you just a minute. I want to go back to the Bills. Why would the Bills not want to pick a quarterback in the first round?
Well, they may take Nassib.
Oh, okay. All right.
From Syracuse.
Okay. No.
That's my point.
That's where I got confused. No, I got confused because I thought you meant they wouldn't pick a quarterback in the first round, maybe wait to the second round. Okay. All right.
So you're saying
pick Nassib in the first round.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Doug Marone's going to pick the guy that he likes. And a lot of people have said a lot of great things about him.
No, I agree. I agree. That makes sense.
Okay. Now, Arizona may take a quarterback, and if they do, they might take Geno Smith. Cleveland has a decision to make. Oakland has that third overall pick, and I can't see them taking a quarterback.
No.
Okay? Now, next you go through the Jets. Okay. Sanchez, Barkley, I think they're not going to do that.
They already had one quarterback this past year.
Tennessee has to make the decision whether Jake Locker is their guy or not. Okay, Rivers is not going to be displaced in San Diego. Tannehill was just drafted by Miami. Freeman's in Tampa Bay. Okay, next you got Carolina with Cam Newton. Drew's already with New Orleans. Bradford's in St. Louis. Romo, Eli Manning, Cutler, Dalton, back to Bradford again. Okay, Minnesota has Christian Ponder, and they just signed a backup for Ponder. Okay, they have to decide whether Christian Ponder is their guy, but they probably will. Luck is in Indianapolis. Wilson's in Seattle. Rodgers. Schaub in Houston. Denver appears to have a decent quarterback. So does New England. Atlanta, of course, has Matty Ice. Kaepernick. They just invested $5 billion in Flacco. The door could be open for Pittsburgh in round two with Matt Barkley.
Was it Webb for the Vikings?
No. I thought they... Because Cleveland just signed Jason Campbell.
Wasn't Castle, was it? No, I would have.
Yeah, it was Matt Castle.
Was it Castle?
Yeah, it was
okay.
Matt Castle. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I knew they looked at him, but I didn't realize they signed him.
Yeah. 2-year deal. So they signed Matt Castle. So they're not going to draft Barkley. I don't think. I think the door is open. I think the door is open, and I think it would be a logical pick to take him.
Well, yeah, looking at it from a fan standpoint, I'm fine with that. I'm very happy with that. As a matter of fact, I might even, as a fan, be consider a first round just to make sure you get him if you think there's any chance you won't, simply because I think that's been the Steelers' problem over the last several years, the fact that Ben gets hurt and there's really no reliable backup quarterback there that, you know, they've had to go to third-string quarterback, what, 3 of the last 4 years?
In fact, you're on a first-name basis, says it all.
I mean, it's a long, long, long way to the third string quarterback most days, but not in Pittsburgh.
I think bringing in a competent guy that's young, that you can develop, and may have to be thrown into the breach, that certainly has been in a pro-style offense, doesn't hurt. Just food for thought for you.
But there's another thing, you know, if the Steelers have been very good at, you know, getting quarterbacks and getting them a little bit more comfortable. Look, that's what Charlie Batch has done for years with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Charlie Batch has been basically a quarterback's coach to Ben Roethlisberger.
Sure. Yeah. I wanted to throw that out there.
No, that's very interesting. I was actually... You know, I was actually content with Dixon, and then they decided not to keep him.
No, there's not really a...
Well, the offense didn't necessarily fit him, but, I mean, at least he could run the offense, and, you know, you didn't have to worry about him tripping over a blade of grass and hurting himself.
Oh.
Listen, I admit it. I couldn't go out there and do it, okay? I'm not saying I could do better, but let's face it. Every time a Steelers backup quarterback gets out on the field, Steeler fans start to sweat a little bit. That's the one thing you could rely on Kent Graham about. You didn't have to worry about him getting hurt because he never moved out of the pocket. His mobility was 3 steps to the left, 3 steps to the right, fall down in a heap.
Your kid's there today.
Yes. He is off today, so he wanted to see what the program looked like.
I'm sure he's wild at the moment.
I'll give you two guesses what he's doing.
He's playing, well, right now he's probably on his phone playing a video game.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up for the holiday weekend, right? You may have guests over. You want to make sure you have the beverages and snacks on board and plenty of them just to invite guests over. Or they may be unwanted guests. Thus, you may want to sample all the products from Brewers Outlet yourself and dull your senses. Whatever you wish. It's up to you. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great snacks, pickle bar, you name it. We'll come back, talk about Doug Gottlieb in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Well, the only show in America today that mentioned Kent Graham.
Flashback.
Half the audience doesn't even know what you're talking
about. Oh, believe me, if they've ever watched the Steeler game, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
A long, long time ago. You know what Florida Gulf Coast's biggest problem is in fundraising right now?
I can't imagine what it would be.
No, this will blow your mind. You have to remember that in their alumni base, okay, their oldest living alum is 37 years old.
Oh, that's true. They haven't been around that long.
Right. They don't have people that are deep into their lives and careers that can make donations. Interesting, isn't it?
Listen, anybody that has a dorm on the beach has got no problem in the future trying to find students that want to come to that university.
Well, you know what? But they've been struggling with money during the course of this tournament run, because you have to remember, you have to pay your expenses up front. Now, they'll eventually get some money back based on the units that they've earned in the tournament, because you get $245,000 per round for your conference that is then runs for 6 years. So in other words, take what Penn State did 2 years ago. They played in Tucson, right? And so Penn State played over 6 years. Penn State, with that one appearance, one round, earned the Big Ten $1.47 million. You're confused, aren't you?
Yeah, but it doesn't take a whole lot. No, I know exactly what you mean.
It's great to have your kid there. Next half hour, he'll co-host the show.
Can't be worse.